Morning.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 58 minutes. Parade show today. That's right. It's the 4th of July parade show. And I have the two people that, along with so many other volunteers and dedicated people, to the 4th of July parade. And I have to tell you all, if you haven't seen it, I am honored. I'm honored and blown away and privileged to have been named by the parade committee as the Grand Marshal of the 2024 4th of July parade. I'm blown away. Never saw it coming and I'm a parade goer from back when I was a kid. Quick story, my father was a fireman, and when the fireman ran the parade, he was very instrumental in running the parade. And he's in heaven now, and I'm sure he's looking down on me saying, I'm proud of you, Baldy. I don't know about the Baldy part, but. All right, without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, Peter Marchetti, Rebecca Breen, she is the heir apparent to the presidency of the parade committee. She is also the woman who runs Downtown Pittsfield, an organization of merchants in the downtown area. And she's been doing that. She'll tell you a little bit about herself. So good morning, Peter. Good morning, Rebecca. Thank you for doing this. I'm excited about the parade. I don't know about anybody else. I know Peter. How long have you been doing this, Pete?
So if I go way back to the earliest of times where I was a corps guide for the drum corps shows and 4th of July, we go back to about 1985, 1986.
Wow.
Played a minor role then. There was the year that there was no 4th of July parade in the late 90s and got involved then a little bit more, became the treasurer around 1999, 2000.
Wow.
And after Jim Brassard resigned as the coordinator of the 4th of July parade, I inherited that title. So back in the day, there was a president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer, but then we had a person who was coordinator. So there was the board aspect of things, and then there was the parade aspect of things, and the two met somewhere. And so under Jane Chapman, Lou Markham, and Betsy Bean, as presidents, I went off on the side and was coordinator. And then when Betsy decided to step away, they're like, well, why don't we just make you the president? And then you can have both roles and we don't need a coordinator. And that kind of makes the job of running the parade really difficult when you're that one person who has to do it all. And so I think we've been doing a really good job this year of starting to document who does what and pass out the chores. So in the past, there would be one person who would go to the post office box and they would manage all the parade applications and also manage all the money that came in. And then that person would work with the treasurer. Well, why is the secretary doing treasurer's work when we can kind of divvy those up? But it was one person doing it all a long time ago. And so now it's just finding the right people to put the right tasks to and make it a task-driven organization rather than a person or a board seat-driven, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, it's evolved. When the firemen did it, they did it while they were on duty, when they were working. And I would be remiss, and the city would be remiss, and the people who have enjoyed the parade over the years, to not thank you and Lou Markham and Sue and so many other people whose names, even if I knew them with my memory now, I wouldn't remember them. I remember yours because they're right on the bottom of the screen. Rebecca, if you really thought about this.
Actually, I have, and it terrifies me.
Oh, good. Yeah, then you got your comments. Yeah, you got your senses. Yep, good.
Yes, I mean, the amount of experience and knowledge that individuals like Peter have and Sue Rock and Dick Murphy, there have been people who have been on this committee and been running this parade for years. So the fact that we are looking to transition, the only thing I can say that I appreciate is the amount that they have been willing to work with us. Myself and Chris Rose, who is the other coordinator for the parade this year, and how much information they've been able to provide for us and always willing to answer a text or a phone call or an email when we need some guidance.
I have found through the years, because I know a lot of the parade committee members, and I have to say this. When I was a kid growing up, Lou Markham was always one of our idols. And then he became Coach Markham out at Berkshire Community College. He was always a good athlete, but he was always one of the bigger guys that you looked up to as a role model. And while I'm old, Markham is older. So, but what a contributor to that parade he's been through the years. And I wish him the very best. And he, as I said, he was always a role model. He still is. So, but Peter, the parade has gone through several adaptations. And I personally, as a veteran, would like to thank you for rearranging the parade so that the veterans are in the beginning rather than we used to be in the end.
And I think that you have to stop for a moment and say, you know, a couple things. And one is, why do we have 4th of July celebrations? And so I think it's clear of why. And it was the war that separated us from England and, you know, the establishment of the United States of America. But it hasn't just been that one war. There have been a number of wars over the history of our country, some with enemies and some amongst ourselves, right? And so how do you kind of step back and say, all right, we have the freedoms and the ways that we can live our life. And that came from someplace.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's always been an honor and respect thing. And I don't know if there are less people going into military service today than back in the 50s. I don't know if that's the case. But I do know that people coming out of the military and joining organizations like the VFW and the American Legion, those numbers have not kept track with numbers of the 1950s. And so, you know, one of the things that I worry about for future parades is, what does the veterans contingency look like? Because we've always relied on those other organizations. And I think my desire to make sure something happens is shared by most of the people on the parade committee. And so when we run into that, we'll figure it out. But I think the other piece is, and, you know, one of the iterations or challenges that we run into is money. And we continue to attempt to put on a premier parade.
Right.
And say, well, we'll make up for it next year in fundraising. And we've done that many times over the parade, and you don't make up for it that next year. And so then we have this people cry of, we need your help, which the city of Pittsfield and Berkshire County have come through anytime that's happened. And so, you know, currently we're really going back to the model of, you raise the money in 24 for 25's parade, and you know the size of the parade that you can put on. Now, you might stretch it a little bit. If you raise 80,000, you may spend 85 because you know you've got some reserves. But we're back to not saying, oh, how do I start entering into contracts in February with musical groups when I don't know that I'm going to have money to pay for it when July 4th comes? So we've put ourselves in a really great place. And I think that that says to me, probably why I showed up for 22 years at 6 a.m., being the coordinator, being the lead, that people expect it. And when you show up at 6 a.m., there are people already there, sitting in their chairs, drinking their coffee, reading the newspaper. And, you know, I sit back and I go, why? Because I know if I wasn't the guy running the parade, I probably would be one of the people that showed up on Makona Street at 10:15, knowing that the parade hasn't made its way that far down the street. Yeah. And I'd be peeping over the people's heads, because I would not show up 4 hours before an event to stake up my claim and be there. But on the flip side, and we learned this when Park Square was redone, the parade is territorial. I go with my family and I sit in this spot and I know my neighbors to the left and right, and it's the same people that show up every year.
Every year.
And I've got to be there and I've got to be at that spot. And so as someone who's in the parade, that runs the parade, who for some years has marched twice, you know, when you get to St. Joe, the people that you are going to see in that area, you know, when you pass the reviewing stand, the people that you're going to see, you know, the people that are on Wakona Street as the parade is ending, where they have for decades said, hey, this is the only reviewing stand that counts. This is the North End reviewing stand.
Right.
And they grade at each unit as they go by.
Yeah,
so
for years, they've done that.
There's tons of reasons why the parade needs to succeed. And, you know, I think if there's ever a day that something goes up to whoever's running the parade and says, all right, we've had enough, we're done, I don't know there's that much fight from the parade community to say, oh, no, you really do want this. I think that if the community didn't want it anymore, the parade committee would happily let it go away. But it's clear to us that the people want it.
Yeah.
And it's important to carry on that tradition.
Rebecca, in case you missed that, they expect you there at 6 a.m. the day of the parade. So,
yes. I've been volunteering for many years. I'm usually stationed on Community Street. So I am there at 6 a.m., my family in tow, to welcome all of the, you know, school groups and the baseball teams and cool. community groups there, and make sure that they're all organized. So I know the tradition many, many years.
Well, and you know, it's such a community effort. It really and truly, when you think of Pete and Rebecca, you go back, think of the people who have volunteered for years. They've gotten old volunteering. And I would be, all of us would be very remiss if we didn't give a shout out to PCTV. It takes an enormous amount of effort to get down there, get all the shots up, lined up, all the equipment. Matt Tucker has always been the producer director, and the guys have been, and gals have been in the rain, and they've been in the 100 degree temperatures with their cameras. So the people from home, and I can't tell you from when I've been doing this show a long time now and shows before this, how many people so enjoy watching that parade. I mean, they can't get there anymore. They're shut in, they're elderly, they don't drive. And they, like with me, it's been a fabric of my entire life, the 4th of July parade and the Memorial Day. When I was a kid, I'm, you know, I know Peter said I don't look it, thanks, Pete. But I'm in my late 70s. And those were big parades right after World War II, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, 4th of July. And they're almost mandatory. And like Peter's saying, I hope as we stand there on the 4th of July and watch the parade and enjoy the parade, we remember why we're having the parade, our freedom, our freedom. And you know, while I am the Grand Marshal and flesh, I will represent all my colleagues and brothers and sisters in Vietnam who didn't come home. So, but so what do you think is going to be the most challenging part of the job, Rebecca? Just one. I only got time for one.
I think the fact that these parades don't happen on July 3rd, the fact that immediately after the parade itself, we sit down and we have a review of what went well and what needs to be done better, and that it does start immediately on planning for the next year.
That's an excellent point. And I, Peter, I just had a reminiscing thought here. What year was it when we were hurting for money, the parade, and he came on this show and we put out a hue and cry to the public, and boy, they hurt us. The money came in. The people of Pittsfield, Berkshire County stepped up to the hue and cry for money for the parade. It meant that much. And I think sometimes, and folks, just to remind you a little bit, you can make a contribution to the Eagle Parade Fund. And it doesn't, listen, $5, $1, doesn't make any difference. It all helps. But that day, that year, Peter, that really demonstrated, at least to me, and I think to you, people do care about this parade.
And the sad part about that is it was 2019. And so we were in great shape financially to produce a parade in 2020. And, well, COVID. We all know that story. We went down the road again for 2021. And we know that story. You know, and there are many people who really think 2021 could have happened. And, you know, they're probably right. It probably could have happened. But absent drum corps and marching bands, because they had been stagnant for more than a year, they couldn't get together and do their thing. So could there have been a parade in 21? Yes. What was the quality of what that parade was going to be? Not sure. And so I think we did the right thing of holding off and saving the money. And, you know, I think when you look at it, we had said in 2019, we're hurting for money. We need to get back to the old way of doing things. And, you know, we have been able to successfully secure the Mummers for 3 years in a row. And also smartened up a little bit with having the Mummers here, because we know when we contract with them that if it's raining, they don't march. And so, you know, the parade committee got burnt 1 year where we, in some of these contracts, way back when, you had the ability to cancel at 5 o'clock on July 3rd if you wanted to cancel. And we looked at the weather forecast, it was a 20% chance of rain, look like a normal Berkshire summer day. And so we didn't cancel. We woke up that morning and, well, it's raining. No one can really explain why. And it looks like that cloud is just hovering over Pittsfield and not moving. So they came, they sat on the bus, they went home and they took their check with them. Or at least now we have the concert the night before. Yeah. At the First United Methodist Church to be able to do what we do. And people can go watch them. And now it's a tag team effort because, you know, part of talking about collaboration and talking about trying to make a parade work, we have both Greater Kensington String Band, which is Mummers, and the Wolfhot Brass Band, that come from the Philadelphia area. They share a bus so that we're only having to pay expenses for one bus to get them here rather than two. They stay in hotel where they stay in the same place. And then both willing to do a concert the night before and help us out.
And it's not just the 4th of July parade. We're going to talk about a lot of things that's happening in that time frame, which I think really you've built up from the parade to all these other things going on. So it really is, I don't want to say weekend. It's an event around events. I don't know if that's a good way to put it, but that's why I did it.
I think if you look at it, there are, so we'll just call it 4th of July week. There is the parade committee that is sponsoring and doing some events. Downtown Pittsfield Inc. Are now collaborating and producing some results. Milltown is also, you know, putting on an event during that week. And the city and the DPI and the Cultural Pittsfield, by luck, has it that First Fridays is the day after the 4th of July. So, you know, I think when we talk about the city and how we can do things to revive the city, as both Rebecca and I and many other people out in the community who produce events know, there's a lot of work that leads up to the event. And sometimes it's, oh, thank God it's over. And sometimes it's, I did all this for that, because it's a lot. And 4th of July, you know that it's appreciated because people are standing up and clapping and yelling, thank you. Where the parade committee has learned to just respond back, no, thank you. Because if you didn't support this, it wouldn't be happening.
Yeah. And Rebecca, you've been involved. Tell us a little bit of your background. And I know now Rebecca is head of Downtown Inc., which is located in downtown.
Yes.
It's a good start. But tell us a little bit about yourself and how you... well, you should have called me. I would have coached you out of this job, but go ahead.
So I was actually born and raised here in Berkshire County. I grew up in Richmond. I went to the local high school at Taconic. My husband and I, we raised our family here, our two sons. It really is my hometown. It really is where I did attend the parade, and I was one of those families who's went out at 5, 6 a.m. with their grandmother and sat and held spots to make sure everybody was there. My background is in hospitality and restaurant management. You know, I've worked for some larger companies here in the Berkshire, such as KB Toys and Country Curtains. So I recognize what every individual here knows is history.
Yeah.
And I joined Downtown Pittsfield Inc. As their director just over 2 years ago. And I really now feel that downtown is my hospitality. So every day I work hard to make sure that there are events happening and that businesses are opening and there's things to do. And so joining the parade committee a number of years back seemed like a natural fit. And now working with the city of Pittsfield and other organizations to make sure that there are events going on and there is music available and there's places to eat just seems like it's what I do and what I am.
Good. Well, and again, it's really part of the fabric of Pittsfield for the 4th of July. I mean, we suffered 2 years that I can remember. Because of COVID without a parade, and it wasn't the 4th of July. If I had a dollar for every person who said, this isn't the 4th of July. And I have to just acknowledge this. I am one of the people in front of St. Joseph's, and here's my why I'm there. There's food, there's shade, there's restrooms, and that's all I care about. But I think the parade, when it reaches that point, it's in its stride, if that makes any sense. You know, everybody's now, the drum corps are, the troops are marching. Everybody's now in their stride. And it's a great place to stand.
It also is the place where the gaps start to happen because they're far enough away from the parade leadership to, hey, I can stop and perform for these people. And
oh yeah,
then the gaps start happening. So, and Bill, just to You
ahead.
brought up PCTV before, but let's reiterate that even though 2020 and 2021 had no parade,
Right.
2020 PCTV did a phenomenal job
Oh.
of creating, now I've even lost the name of it, but the history of the parade.
Right.
It to me was phenomenal. And then, their archives of, do you want to go back to 1990 something and
Yeah.
watch a 4th of July parade? It's there. And so, it wasn't what it could have or should have been, but they attempted to provide as much of a 4th of July that we could have.
Yeah, they filled the gap, and I'll tell you, it was not without a lot of work to edit all those in and archive them, and I watched it a couple of times actually. It was that interesting to me. Actually, I'll be honest, I was looking for myself when I was thinner and had hair, but I didn't see me.
Well, I could watch that and say, geez, I actually did have hair color besides gray back then. And
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
that was only 4 years ago.
Well, it comes with the job, dude. You know what I mean? Hey, really. I think too, it's a fan. You've all worked hard through the years. And I have to tell you this story. My niece lives in Foxborough. She drove with her kiddos when they were young up here to show them what a parade, a real parade, because there's parades there, but they last 20 minutes or a half hour. And she brought them up here to see a good parade on the 4th of July. I know a lot of people, remember Peter, you do remember when we were, the 4th of July parade was America's 4th of July parade. It was televised on what, peace, not P public television.
Yep. Well, there's been a number of iterations that it went out to public. Was it PBS
I think it was
that
PBS.
carried the parade? And there were a number of years that we went out through Armed Services TV
Yeah, that
across the
too.
world, and now PCTV between cable casting and streaming, the parade goes out worldwide via Facebook Live. So we get the data that shows that there are people in Russia and China watching Pittsfield's 4th of July parade.
Cool.
They share it with all of the public access stations, basically in Berkshire County and, across Western Mass, so that folks can enjoy the parade. So.
It's really to me, when we didn't have it, it just wasn't a 4th of July. We have to take a break now. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio, though. We're simulcasting on PCTV and a lot of other things that I can't remember because these technical guys, they keep me looking good. This is my flag. Please respect it because there's a lot of people who are buried under it. And it really upsets me when I see it desecrated in any way. And I mean that. So we're going to take a little bit of a break and we'll be right back with Rebecca Breen and Peter Marchetti, the outgoing parade president, and Rebecca Green, God love her, the incoming parade president. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sondrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Sure.
All right, we're back. I am here today. I'm so happy for those that are just tuning in and missed the first half. We're going to do some repeating of it. But I have with me the outgoing parade president, parade committee president, Peter Marchetti, and the incoming parade president. That's hard to say. Rebecca Breen. It's a big deal to put this parade on. And a lot of people through the years have volunteered. And volunteered is the word. And I'll tell you, starting right about now, most of these people, they're a little afraid. So whatever you do, don't call them up with, so what time's the parade start? So, or do what I did this morning to the, who else would you ask but the mayor? Are they picking up trash today because of the holiday? But there you go. Rebecca, you've been associated, so you know what's involved.
Well, I thought I knew what was involved. As someone who has been on the parade committee and on the board itself, you know, I have worked with many of the volunteers who work with the fire truck street, who work on parade floats, who order the balloons, of course, community groups, street, the veterans. I thought I knew what was entailed in the parade. And then last year, they started giving me some little tidbits of what it really takes behind the scenes. And that's where Peter and Sue Rock and others from the officers would meet weekend after weekend to make sure that we had all of the applications in, to make sure all the descriptions were there for each of the items, because you'll get things like, you have a very lovely write-up on a cheerleading squad and what the rewards have been. And then you'll have a second one that says, we think we're going to do a float. We'll let you know.
Yeah.
And so all of that behind the scenes, you know, I've been pulled into this year. Chris Rose, the other co-coordinator, has been brought in this year. And there is so much more to it than even I knew, having been on the committee for a number of years.
I go back a long time when I was with the St. Charles Youth Group. Linda Ballinger was with some of the others. A lot of them are gone now. But and we started in February making tissue flowers for our float. I don't know how many thousands we made. And then we had a little bit of a kerfuffle. And fortunately, my father was still on the fire department. Some brilliant person said, oh, you can't have flowers made of Kleenexes on the float. What if it catches on fire? Well, we got 35 fire trucks here. What are we worried about? But anyhow, we got a waiver. But that's the kind of effort. In the first half, you might have missed it. Rebecca and Peter said they, right after the parade, right after the 4th, they start planning for next year. That's the intenseness that you have to have. And every dot, every I has to be dotted and every T has to be crossed because there's contracts involved and all that. And I mean, to me, the people who do this, they volunteer. We as a city owe them to be out there and clap when they go by. And I particularly love the fife and drum court. But how many units in this year's parade, Pete?
There are 161, including banners.
Wow. So
it is slightly smaller than last year.
Yeah.
I think by 10 units, but not overly crazy. And a lot changes between now and 4th of July, which the new group has to be a little bit tougher than the former president and coordinator. And you set deadlines for a reason. And, you know, we have learned a lot this year. We have made a lot of efficiency corrections to the parade. And I would tell you that back in the day, you spent 9 hours every Sunday from a Memorial Day to Father's Day. And then you get a little bit of a break. Then you have 161 packets back then that needed to be mailed. Under the current process, they get emailed. So it's a money saving from a postage standpoint. It's a money savings because you don't need to print hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of here's your map, here's your rules, here's your lineup, here's your bus pass, here's your vehicle pass. So a lot of it has been able to change. And what we learned this year is that with an automated application online, you can cut and paste descriptions and titles of companies. And some of the descriptions, honestly, have a lot to be desired. So it's really bad that for the last 20 years, a math major has been creating a booklet and writing word descriptions of organizations or rewording. But we now have found easier ways. And hopefully, the next group doesn't have to spend every Sunday for 4 Sundays in a row not seeing anything. And it's a lot of work.
A person told me that when it first started, it was all done by hand, typewriter, and handwritten paper.
Well, and I can remember working with Jim Brassard and his system, and that was every unit went on an index card. And veterans might be a yellow card, amusement might be a blue card, and balloons may be an orange card. And you laid it out all across the floor so that you could see that you had two blue cards back to back. So did you want two musical units back to back? When I inherited it, I'm colorblind. I'm not playing the difference between an orange, yellow, and red card. So
thank God.
I just started a process of going through the applications and writing M next to something that had music. And as I think Rebecca could attest to, in the final hours of putting the parade to rest, there was many conversations of, can we have those three musical type things back to back? And if it's a boombox with music, maybe. If it's a boombox with speakers and a generator that helps blast the music out, maybe not. And if it's a drum corps, you can't have a drum corps performing in front of or behind the Irish step dancers because they'll drown each other out.
Yeah, and I also, there's a whole other side of the parade in today's world that you both have to work on, and that is the security, working with the police and fire and EMS. And the world has gotten a little bit stranger than it was when I was a kid. And all of that is done in the background, and it's done so professionally. And hats off to the fire department, half off to EMS, half off to the police. It's a bit. I can remember when I was a cop, we were concerned with traffic, and that was pretty much it. The occasional person inebriated, they're few and far between. But today is a different ball game, and I applaud all the effort. The new Chief Dolly, he's been through it before. It's not his first rodeo. So, and the same with Chief Sammons and the EMS folks. But all of these pieces, this parade group, these two people, along with a lot of others, they have to have in their head all the time thinking about, and Peter, help me with this too. What is the story with the balloons? The hydrogen is what, too expensive? Or I don't know. Helium, whatever.
So the helium, actually, there was a shortage of it many years ago.
Okay.
It's very expensive. And when you look at Pittsfield's parade routes for a whole host of reasons, traffic signals on North Street, trees in the medians that have now grown to a little bit mature stages that you need to go through. And when you get to Wakona Street, the electrical wires or cable wires, whatever they are that go, just kind of take over the street. And the helium balloons, if you have a 40 or 50 foot helium balloon, is going down on its back. And people don't get the full effect. So we've looked for different ways, some hot air balloons, some cold air balloons, some pull balloons down. And so and there's a couple things with that. And so we have one giant helium balloon, several smaller hot air balloons. And I think we can still put out a plug that if somebody has a golf cart without a cover, that they're willing to volunteer to the parade on parade day. You can even drive your own golf cart down the street if that's what it takes to get him there. One of our balloons needs to rest on top of a golf cart. And for a whole host of reasons, we're having difficulty making that one happen.
You know, there. I'm sure there are folks out there. Please call the mayor's office. Is that or Rebecca or what? Who? How would they get in touch?
447-7763, the parade phone.
Okay. And just call, and I'm sure there's people that can do that, and it'd be kind of cool actually driving down with a balloon on your thing, on your cart. Through the years, what will you, now that you're stepping down? Yeah, right. Now that you're stepping down, what will be some of your fondest memories of the parade?
I think the volunteers that I've met over the 20-something years, you know, and this year we were talking about our parade introductory welcome letter. And last year for obvious reasons, or 2 years ago, actually, for obvious reasons, we added a line of for those that are no longer with us. And it was a very personal piece for me, but the more that we started talking about it, there are a number of parade volunteers that are no longer with us. And so why not keep that memory alive and do those? And, you know, there are two parade posters that have people who have passed away in them, and one was Jeff Hunt, but the other was Jane Chapman. And so how do you kind of keep those alive? We had Joanne Hayes, who was our secretary for a really long time. She would walk from her house on Northumberland to my house on Cortland Place during those Sundays that we were working. Joanne, you want to ride? No, I'll get there. And so I think the people I met, and then Rebecca can probably agree or understand, there's nothing more, I don't even know the phrase, but nothing makes you feel better than when you step off parade morning as the last unit in the parade and watch the kids and the adults from, you know, age 18 to 100 that are lining the parade route, and seeing the pure joy in their eyes of what you just did and the work that you just put in for however many hours. And I don't think I've ever kept track of hours, but I know it's in the thousands per year, that the people appreciate it. And, you know, I think that parade morning might be a little emotional for me. And the fact that you've been doing this an awful long time, many members make fun of me that I used to be parade coordinator dry heaves, because the minute I got to the parade route, I started with dry heaves. And then the last couple of years, it was like, whatever. It is what it is. You've done everything you can. What? Entry number 19 is going to go down the street before 18. The only one that's going to know that is you. And like, why are you beating yourself up over it? And so I think those two, the people I've met along the way and just watching the pure joy that you provide.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as a spectator, and that's all I've ever been in, but I'm a loyal spectator. I can never say that I left the parade with any animosity towards what the parade was. I always enjoyed whatever was in the parade. I went there for the joy of being with the same people that stand in the same place, the same. Now, I was just thinking too, Rebecca, how about this? When a city has to put an ordinance or a rule or whatever they did, you know the political stuff, Peter, but that you can't put your chair out before whatever, 6 a.m, whatever it was, that's a testament to me of how much people love this parade.
They set up
a battle stations at 7 o'clock at night, you know, the night before.
Well, our location and now for downtown Pittsfield Inc. is now on North Street. And everyone's like, you have prime viewing from your office window. And I'm like, that would be great, but I'm not going to be in my office.
That's
I'm
right.
going to be up at the merge, making sure everything I can learn as much as possible from Pete on how to make sure this parade goes off great.
To me, and that is... That is so important. I mean, for you to just get the feel of it, that, you know, be at the helm with Pete. I mean, I would not want to be at the helm without Pete, at least my first time. Just.
And we're very lucky that Pete will be staying on the board, although not in the presidential role, for at least another year with us. So it does still give us somebody to ask questions to and for him to remind us of things that we need to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, now he's not at the bank, so, I mean, what else does he have to do?
You know? Exactly.
One of those guys, Bill, one of those guys.
I know. Let's go over once more all the activities around the parade. You want, whoever wants to take.
Actually, starting on June 30th on the Sunday, their Pittsfield Parade Committee will be hosting a car show at the McKay Street parking garage. It is a casual event, but you can bring any car. You don't have to be an antique. We ask for a $10 donation towards the parade, and you can spend the time frame. It's from 10 till 2, you know, just sitting and talking, and there will be prizes awarded. We have BB's Hotspot, who will be there serving food as well. So that sort of kicks off our week, which is nice. And then Tuesday night at Hot Plate Brewing Company at 7 p.m., we'll be doing a trivia night. So Kevin Pink and we'll be there doing double entendre. And we'll be doing some parade type of trivia. We'll do some Pittsfield trivia, and there'll be prizes for that as well.
Cool.
And then on Wednesday, July 3rd, the concert at First United Methodist Church,
right?
Both Greater Kensington String Band, also known as the Mummers, and the Wolfat Band. I would assume that's a 6:30 to 9 event. And then we need to go home and get to bed so that we can be back on the street at 6 a.m. Thursday morning to begin the lineup of 4th of July parade.
And folks, I said this in the beginning of the show, and I'll say it again. It is truly a family event. I mean, I've seen great grandparents, with the parents, and with the kids. And to me, I have to say, you can go to the parade, no batteries needed.
Right.
You can just stand. It's outside, actually. People walk back and forth. You don't have to look in a screen. They're really right there. It is really and truly a family event. And I used to tell my son when he was young and we moved a lot, I was transferred a lot and stuff. When we would go to something or like that, you're making memories. And really and truly, I think back on all the memories I have back to when I was a kiddo on standing on Vacona Street with my mother and brother and sister.
So let's finish the schedule because we're not done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So after the parade, folks can have a few hours of their own family time. Wakona Park has baseball. The first game is later afternoon. It's a Babe Ruth game that will take place at Wakona Park, followed by a 6:30 game for the Adult Baseball League that has been created in Pittsfield several years ago.
Yeah.
And then following the game, fireworks at Wakona Park, sponsored by the Pittsfield Suns. So they are here celebrating 4th of July with us. And then July 5th is First Fridays at 5.
Yeah.
So 5 to 8 downtown Pittsfield. All the fun things that we have. Blues band at the stage at the intersection of North and East and West.
Oh, cool.
And then Rebecca knows all about the fun kids zone that we have and much more entertainment up and down North Street.
So Downtown Pittsfield Inc. will be doing their Kids Paint and Sip in Dunham Mall again, along with a dozen other organizations, and a balloon crafter will be in Dunham Mall. Yeah. We then do have dance available in Persip Park, and an artist will actually be painting canvases in Sotilly. Wow. There's also the First Friday's Arts Walk as part of this. If you'd like to take a shuttle down to the Clock Tower Artist, the shuttle's available. But then throughout downtown, there will be artists' galleries open in the restaurants and retailers. And at Downtown Pittsfield Inc.'s offices, we actually will be showing vintage posters from the parade itself. And you're able to purchase them for $10 each as part of the fundraising process for the parade.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's a wonderful evening. Yeah. And again, very family friendly.
And I would be, I think all of us would be remiss if we didn't shout out to Mary McGinnis, a.k.a. Mary Carrot Cake. I could never, Rebecca, the behind the story, Peter knows, I could never remember whether it was McGinnis or Jameson when she would come on the show. So I just named her Mary Carrot Cake, which stuck.
Yes.
It was her really brilliant idea to do Arts Walk on First Fridays. And I... Peter and Rebecca, I guess you're both to blame. So, but thank you for bringing it back to downtown. I love the Common. There's certain things that I love going to the Common. That wasn't one of them. I'm glad it's relocated back in the downtown area. I applaud both of you for doing that. I think it brings life to the downtown.
Well, I think we've done it right.
Yeah. I do too.
We don't have many food trucks. And so we are also noticing that our restaurants are seeing the bump in activity of the people that are coming into the downtown. And I think that's part of it. Even though some of the downtown merchants may be closed, if you haven't walked the downtown in a period of time, you don't know of the 14 new stores that have opened in our downtown area in the last year. And so it's an opportunity to at least showcase and show folks that they're there. And, you know, it was a little bit of a mayor saying, hey, I thought First Friday's Arts Walk was a wonderful idea and hosted artists in campaign headquarters and went, where are the people?
Yeah.
You know, not for me, but for the artists, I was feeling guilty or bad that an artist was in my location and people weren't coming to scope it out. And you know, I think there's still some work that we need to figure that out, because the Berkshire Arts Center is doing much better in this environment of First Friday's Arts Walk / First Friday's at 5 / whatever you want to call it. But some of the other locations still further up North Street are struggling to get folks to pop in. You know, I went up to Hotel North. And they were booming with people, but a couple doors down, the New Arts Center having difficulty. And so do folks understand that there's more art on a second floor? Are people not going up because it's on the second floor? Don't know. You know, we kind of have to kind of figure that out. And then our last event that we can boast about is July 6th at the Common, Milltown Foundation doing an event that starts at 3, ends at 9. And has a whole host of activities, including a little bit of Tango in the Common or Tango in the Park that they've done in prior years. So, and Rebecca is much better versed at those events as well.
Absolutely. I mean, the Milltown Foundation really has brought together all of the major artists and brought them to Pittsfield for the afternoon. So you'll be seeing music, you'll be seeing dance, you will be seeing art, you know, everything from the roller derby girls to wandering dance. And of course, as Pete mentioned, the Tanglewood in the Park itself. So again, a family-friendly activity in the afternoon. It's from 3 until 9 in the Common itself. And we'll be there as well, making sure that everybody knows what's going on and having a great time.
I want to thank you both. I know you're out straight. This is probably the worst time in the world to ask you for an interview. Thank you for giving up your time and getting ready. Just hang for a minute. I've just got a couple of announcements I want to read. Strikeout Cancer will be happening on June 29th, Saturday, at Clapp Park. It's like the fourth annual. Joe DeCicco, who lost his wife to cancer, has done this. They're connected with Dana Faber, Jimmy Fund. I'm a big supporter of this event. So, here's the deal. All proceeds go to Dana Faber. You can call Joe at 518-390-2512. And by the way, you get a free T-shirt. It's a $10 donation. If you're 170 and want to go out and put the glove on for 5 minutes, you can do it. If you don't have a bat or a glove or a ball, they have it all. Also coming up, St. Joseph's Polish Picnic, July the 24th, noon to 5 p.m., and it's a big year for St. Joseph's. It's an anniversary year. So we have missed all of us have missed the Polish picnic with COVID and all that malarkey. And last, there's a couple of great plays. Abe Lincoln in Illinois, that's playing down at the Unicorn, but it's Berkshire Theater Group. And Lacage, that's playing at Barrington Stage. I have not seen Abe Lincoln in Illinois. I have seen Lacage. The music, the dancing is absolutely phenomenal. I want to thank you both again. Thank you so much. I'm always here for you, know that. Thank you, Peter, for the many years that you have put in and all the good you have done for this city in so many other ways. Rebecca, best of luck. I'm a phone call away. To my audience, to Pete and Rebecca, God bless. And today, and I say this every day, let's do something to make somebody's life a little bit better. You see, other people, that's all we have in this life. By doing that, you'll feel better. I look forward to seeing y'all in the parade. I'll be in the parade this year, too. Don't be looking for me in front of St. Joe, Pete. I won't be there.
Well, you can always get back there by the time.
I've already been through this getting back thing with somebody else. Please don't spoil the interview. I think the world of both of you. Thanks so much. Bye, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
See you.